Okay, questions anymore? Sharing? I want to say you guys have been very patient and very gracious. You've been this whole trip. You've been kind to me. I addressed my first time I ever addressed CA on Thursday night, and I was much taken by your graciousness and your reception to a foreigner coming in and somebody who's not even in your fellowship. And I thought you treated me with absolute kindness, and I want to thank you, guys that are here from and gals that are here from that group. I get invited to go a lot of places and do a lot of things for Alcoholics Anonymous. But there's no place I'd rather be than right now here with you. So, are there any other questions that have come to mind over the breaks? Or I noticed there's been a little sharing going on between people. I think this is a great thing. It's usually a natural outcome of this. Somebody in the room's always got experience with whatever it is we're dealing with, and sometimes the experience is right under our nose. And so I'm glad to see that, and I see little pockets of people getting together. It's my hope that this is opening up something for you to investigate on your own, and that you will investigate it, and that you will gather together in smaller groups and discuss some of the things that I've spoken about, and more importantly, some of the things that is contained in our literature. In spite of its redundancy, we have a wealth and a treasure trove of written information on AA and its evolution, things like that. And they're great resources. The Internet, I would suggest that if you're going to go on the Internet unsponsored, you may want to reconsider that. You probably need an Internet sponsor. I'm not part of it. I'm in favor of face-to-face book.
I'm very thankful, grateful for the information I heard from all those places in my mind. One question I guess is burning within me at this point is, I've heard you speak about a lot. One of the things I'm thinking is how the higher power ties in with the steps, because when I read one of the major things is that I believe it's saying that's what the purpose of the book is, turning into a power greater than ourselves, not the power. Now I was wondering, is it possible to expound on it in the time that you have in a way that it'll help me? I'm new.
We have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. Right. But that doesn't make it so. It only makes it true if you believe it. If you don't believe that, then it's no more spiritual than it is moral. We do not have the corner on spirituality. We've been playing at it for a little close to 80 years. There are people that have walked the spiritual way of life for thousands. They have a lot of collective experience. We can do well to tap some of that. But at the end of the day, for my life, everything has to be reconcilable in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I find no other place to reconcile it. That book was written about me before I was ever thought of. And I find myself there. It's my great hope that you find yourself in the book as well. We wrote in another place in the big book, we said, we are sure our way of life has advantages for all. Maybe. It's only true if you believe it. And the book was intended to mass produce spiritual experiences. They knew that there would be people out there isolated in various ways, and the best way we could get the message at that time to those people was through our printed big book. And that big book has transformed the lives of millions of people. I'm not going to stand up here and argue in the face of that. But I will say this, that unless and until this book and this God of your understanding becomes personal to you, it's all a house of cards. This is not an intellectual exercise, and I realize we've been talking a great deal about a lot of techno-sobriety issues, but they all tie together to help you find your relationship with your power greater than yourself, however you conceive that power, and that you in turn would share that with the next one. Nothing, you will have a 180-degree recovery if you're here just for you. You find your God and you keep it to yourself, no purpose is served. On the other hand, when you take it all the way around to help somebody else, then you'll see the true meaning of spirituality as the book envisioned it. But I've never believed that we are spiritual just because we say so. But today I believe I'm just a member of Alcoholics Anonymous trying to make a day. And if my spiritual walk is by your judgment a spiritual walk, okay. But it's not my business what I think of me. Humility is defined, one time was told to me this way, it's not thinking less of me, it's thinking of me less. And the less time I worry about me, the better off everybody is in my house and in my group and everybody. Somebody else had a hand? Yeah.
Do you have anything more to say about the trend of dependency on sponsorship instead of the fundamentals of the program itself and what it's going to take to turn that around?
I believe the institution of sponsorship generally is broken. Generally. Specifically, I see cases where people have transcended the negatives and found a great source of strength. I don't think working with somebody, taking somebody through the steps as an example, or taking time and taking somebody through the traditions, or being if you want to formalize it, calling it a service sponsorship, okay, that's fine. But for me, to help somebody, sponsorship is not a requirement. Will I take an hour after the meeting and visit with somebody who maybe it looks like a 10th step? Maybe they're having a hard time seeing what it is, how the defects have played themselves out. Because there's too much drama or there's too much emotion going on or something. It's just working with others. And I work with them at the level they're at. I'm not bringing them up to some spiritual hilltop. I got to get down in the trench and work where they're at. They're in trouble. It helps if I've had that trouble. See? So, sponsorship in and of itself, absent God, creates automatic wrong dependence. Dr. Earl used to give a talk called the Pipeline Talk. And in there, he talks about he's a conduit between God and the other person. And he said when he first started the work, and the work is not the steps, the work is working with others. That's the work in AA. I don't know where this started, I'm in the work. The work is working with others. We take the steps as actions. And there's no work there involved compared to staying drunk 24/7. Okay? But this pipeline is all bent and crooked. And what the steps do is straighten out that pipeline and make it a clear shot. You're not God as a sponsor. You're just a pipe. Yes?
So, working with others, that can go from A to Z.
Yep.
That can be if I wanted to go out and help feed the homeless.
Yep.
Or help some old lady across the street.
I always pick the ones that never want to go. Maybe I'll help you. I'm not going there. Oh yeah, you are. You need to. Yeah. I'll give you that. I will give you that. Anywhere in the community. Well, where did I get this? I didn't get it from the community. I got it from you. So my obligation, first and foremost, above all things, is to get in the trench and work with them where they're at. That's my first obligation. If I got time for saving humanity or, you know, nuke the gay whales for Jesus or whatever else I want to get involved in, okay. But my first obligation, the arena that I live my life in, is alcoholism in every manifestation of that. That's where I live. I am an alcoholic who has found a solution. It's obligated to share that with somebody else, or I will not be able to keep it for myself. Somebody over here? No? Come on, man.
Yeah, sometimes in our grid, in order to save money, we'll sometimes buy the little red books and hand them out when we go down to the Salvation Army.
Violator.
What do you think of the, you know, I'll call it the Anonymous Press, and we do buy their little red books, and they're good little books. And we went away from getting the hardbacks, and now we're going back to it. But I just wanted to get your take on it. Are we violating tradition by giving out the red books?
I can tell you the board has no opinion on where you buy your literature. There's no opinion on that. We can't govern that. When you purchase a big book, it's got a little bit of the cost of it is for the raw cost of the book. Part, and the biggest part of the overage, the gross income, goes right back into the office's expense. And the reason we have to do it that way is because the groups historically have never supported the services at the Journal Service Office, to the point where the central offices depend on a pad in their literature prices to help support that endeavor. If the groups were 100% self-supporting, we could sell the big book at production cost, which is about $2.40 per hard copy. So that gives you an idea of the hill. The groups historically fund services at a level of about between two-thirds and three-quarters of the yearly budget. And that difference has to be made up somewhere. And so we make it up through PAD and literature. When you buy a book from Anonymous Press, you're paying for a guy's yacht. The overage, over the cost of publishing, goes to a for-profit, and the guy pays himself very well. That's the best I got on that.
No, that's exactly what.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was going back towards my helping myself and working with others. So in your experience and time of working, like I came to an institution. That's how I came to meet the individuals I know. I came to a recovery center. That's how I got to. But I counted the homeless the other night with a lot of them. I'm just curious, how did you feel if an individual was walking under the bridge and talking to people?
I've done that.
Yes, done that.
I don't find a lot of reception. They usually want to hit you up for some wine money.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I'll buy them a drink, but I won't give them money. I used to troll the bridge. I'd get so frustrated with myself. I don't believe in meetings in treatment facilities. I mean, I got some funny ideas about things. I don't believe in meetings in treatment facilities. I think we make it too easy, too convenient to find AA sometimes. There's no effort on their part. We throw meeting lists at them. We throw phone lists at them. There's a tool that gets horribly abused. People calling people for reasons other than sobriety. If you're a female and you want to be on a phone list, adopt some kind of male surname or something. It will help. My name's Mac. Or Dawn, spelled with a double N. That'll throw them. I'm serious. I'm serious. Those things are misused more often than they're used. I give my phone number out in any given year, 2,000 people. I bet I don't get 5 calls. So I think the math works pretty good. You don't worry about how many people you're working with or where they come from or who's there or who ain't. Got a level of water. I trust that. As far as taking the message to them, I've done that. I got to tell you, it's been a while since I've done that. But I used to walk the 15th Street Viaduct Bridge in Denver. That's where they all live. And I met a wino named Skip. And Skip told me, he said, "You want to see my place, man?" And I said, "Sure, bud." And so we walked, and he had a great big Kotex box he was living in. And he said, "This is my stay-free mini pad." I bought him a bottle of Thunderbird and went on my way. Yeah, the humor value in some of this is just appalling, quite frankly.
Why did you buy him liquor?
He wanted to drink. He didn't want to get sober. And he was shaking pretty bad. I didn't get the good stuff. Night Train, Thunderbird.
Never said it.
69 cents. I mean, that wasn't too bad. That's what I do. A guy comes to me and says, I need a drink, I give him something to drink. If he comes to me and says, I need something to eat, I'll give him something to eat. If they come to me and say, I want sobriety, I can help you there too. I give them what they want. I don't give them a book on how to drill a water well. I don't give them a book on how to grow a garden. And I don't give them a book on how to get sober unless I'm willing to help them. And that's what we're doing. We've become the Gideons. We're throwing books at the problem. We're throwing meetings at the problem. And nobody says, let's sit down and see what this book says. It's a text. It's a two-person book. If you can read on a sixth grade level, you can read that book. I know college PhDs that can't get through Bill's story. That's true. Why did he put this together this way? Does it sound like your life? Well, yeah, but that's not the point. What is the point? It's crazy. It's crazy. That's why I do that, honey. That's why I do that. I give them what they want. Yes.
How I love the history of how are you with that? You try to find you've said some things to indicate that you like the history. And as far as your service, your level of service that you went there, but I enjoy the history of AA, finding out different things about it. Because, like, I heard they used to carry liquor in the car for people.
I still do.
Yeah.
In my car, I got a half pint of whiskey and a plastic tart. I had to sober up my daughter. 14 when it happened. I had to take my daddy hat off and put my AA humanitarian award hat on, because it wasn't a 12-step call. It was a humanitarian effort. She was in trouble. I got her out of a jam. And then I had to sober her up so I could get her past the screening committee at home, which is her mother. How do you have somebody's back? How do you have somebody's back? Well, that night, I was just kind of making it up as I went along. She was standing there in the street all drunk, and I had to spread the little plastic tarp over the chair very carefully. I wanted her to hurt. And then I let her sit down, and I got a little bucket in front of her, turned the air conditioning down to meat. And drove around town till 5 in the morning. Blowing cold air on her when she had to puke. Let her out in the street. Don't puke in my car. Put her to bed. Gave her a wash rag over her head. And went to bed. You never know how you're going to get called, man. You don't know who's going to call you. But I can't treat her special, because if I do, I'll kill her. If I start applying shortcuts, oh, baby, don't go to that group, go to this group. I can't help my own kid, but I can help your kid. And I hope one day, if and when, I don't know, we'll see. And when she comes to, it might be in Atlanta, Georgia. And it might be one of you that's going to have to answer that call. I sure hope you do. Yes.
The crack cocaine was my thing. And so a guy come up and said, hey man, give me $10, go give me some crack. Could you pay me out and go give me some heroin?
No. I won't give you money. You want something to eat? I'll give you something to eat.
Right.
I'll go sit there with you and make sure you spend it on that.
Right. So you better ask.
Yeah, don't ask me.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that says, I say, crack, what's that? That's part of my ass. I forgot. You know? That's what I know about crack. I don't know nothing about it.
That's criminal activity, right?
Yeah. I'm not your mark. I had a little racket when I was 12 years old running away from home, living on the mean streets of Denver. I would get a bus ticket, you know. End up. And I would had a little tin can, and I'd stand out there pretty young looking. I was 6'4". I've always been 6'4", I think. But I weighed about 100 pounds, maybe. I'd hold that little can, and I'd say, you know, if I just had 50 cents more, I could buy a bus ticket to go home and see my mother. And people, oh, Sonny, here's a silver dollar. God, I wish I'd have kept all those things. Give them away as chips now. And I'd go get me some Ripple. Or I did all that shit. So I'm not your mark. I'm not your guy. Somebody had back here. Yeah.
Gender-specific meetings?
If it's AA and calls itself AA and I can't go, it's not AA. That's my barometer.
What is USA's take on that?
Sorry?
What's their take in New York on gender-specific meetings?
In addition to, but never as a substitute for, regular AA meetings.
Would that extend to young people?
In addition to, but never substitute for, regular AA meetings. I don't know what regular is, but it ain't young people's, it ain't gay, lesbian, it ain't men, it ain't women, it ain't... It's none of that. We're alcoholics. Period. That's my barometer. I don't know what yours is going to be, but that's what I use. They say it's AA, and I can't go.
What about sponsorship?
What about it? Yeah, you know, over the years I've probably sponsored, I don't know, 20 women maybe. I got like 6 or 7 right now, and the drama that they are able to create is more than 24 guys. And I'm no good at it. I mean, I just, you know, I was just like, holy shit, do you even think about this stuff? And I don't know that I'm particularly effective at it. It's not for me to judge. I would say this, some things have to be taken off the table. I mean, right away. And I got to hold true to that. We ain't going to be having no hanky-panky. So if that's what you're looking for, somebody to hook up with, you better find somebody young and able, because I ain't. I'm old, wore out, and what I got, if it ain't broke, it don't work. So, I'm just saying.
Do you think there's a certain time that you got to have? Like, see, I'm also in the treatment zone, getting ready to come out of there, and I have a case manager, and they harp on how much time do your sponsor have before you can sponsor somebody. And, you know, so
I'm 60 years old. I've buried 5 sponsors. The one I got is 63, and he ain't doing so well. There's something to that. I don't know whether I'm wearing him out or what. And the next one I get is going to be younger than I am. Probably going to have less time. I'm not interested. I know people 30, 35, 40 years of sobriety. I'm not impressed. And I realize that sounds judgmental. I realize it sounds harsh. I get it. But to me, they're people that never turned the corner. They're still trying to suck the life out of this thing. And they'll never get used to using and abusing people. They'll never get over it. If they haven't done that by 5-10 years, they're not going to do it. So time, it probably counts for something. In my case, I view it as a result of my time in AA, most of which has been pretty well spent. I've developed and gotten and received a whole bunch of experience that very, very few people get. All in one, like, package, I guess. And this is not self-promotion. I'm just stating it like I see it. I suppose that makes me uniquely qualified to talk to this group of alcoholics in this window of alcoholism, in this window of the world. Each one of you in your way and type is able to work with some window in there. I don't know what it is, and I don't know how big it is. Everybody's bringing something to the party. Even the newest new one is bringing something to the party. Capitalize on what it is. Develop first, find out what it is, and then develop that further. You asked a question, somebody asked a question about AA history. I'm a bankrupt historian. I'm the kind of guy that believes that we will repeat our mistakes. mostly because we won't investigate the cause and the condition. So I'm an AA history fan. To me, the first book I read in AA was AA Comes of Age. I read that before the big book. And you know what impressed me about that? The improbability of AA's story. How we survived ourselves is beyond my understanding. It also was the document that led me to believe that there's a hand far greater than any hand of human nature that's at the helm of this thing. It led to my belief in God. The improbability of this thing ever succeeding. I'm not easily impressed, but I was very impressed by that. When I was 12-step, the guy told me it was started by a broke-down liar stock flogger and a preaching proctologist. Now that impressed me. This was not started by some do-gooder helper community. This was started by people that didn't drink any better than I did. And by accident, with a divine purpose, we found ourselves here. And we are the living recipients of all of the hard work and labor that was conducted in the beginning of time by those that went before us. Remember how I talked about turning the corner and one day you discover that you're the oldest rat in the barn. And they're all looking at you saying, what are we going to do now? What are you going to give them? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it like I know how to do it. Somebody got a better plan? We'll have a group conscience and we'll decide. I cannot afford at this stage of the game to be closed-minded to all things. I embrace openly the growth of the other 12-step programs. But I'm going to say this right now, and I hope this doesn't offend you. If it does, I'm sorry. I'll make my amends now. Do not come to Alcoholics Anonymous with something other than alcoholism, claiming there's no recovery in your fellowship. Do not come to AA and say, well, that's where the recovery is, man. Your fellowship will never have recovery until somebody starts recovering. And then starts, in turn, acting like they're recovering, even if they don't believe it. And starts passing it on. You guys are uniquely, gals, are uniquely qualified to help somebody of your particular disposition. Don't shrink from that. Stand up to it. Find your brothers and sisters that have the appropriate condition. You can talk the lingo. I don't know nothing about... See, crack, what do I know? I'm just a tardo when it comes to some of this stuff. Some of this happened after I even got sober. I missed the wine cooler portion of the entertainment. And then I remembered on Skid Row, when I used to drink down there, we'd take a bottle of nitrate and pour sodium bromide in it, powder, to make it fizz so your guts didn't turn inside out. Sodium bromide is industrial strength Alka-Seltzer. And I mean, it came. They sold it by the bag in powder. It looked like cocaine, I guess. I don't think I'd put it up my nose, but you pour it in and you drink it, and God, at least your guts wouldn't turn inside out when you drink some of that crap. Home remedies. Now, only somebody drank wine on the road would know that. See? But you guys start talking about crack, snorting, pilling, shooting, snorting, injecting enemas, I don't know how else you can get it in you. I don't know. I get these addicts coming to me and they want me to help them through the steps. I can't help them. I can't get a first step with them. They don't talk my lingo, man, but they talk your lingo. Stand up to that challenge. Let them, you guys talk shop, do your deal. And you'll recover, and then others will recover, and then you'll have a fellowship growing up around you. If I had a suggestion for Cocaine Anonymous, it would be write your own book. Use it verbatim. If you can get AWS to agree to it, use the big book verbatim, put coke in there, and see how the story turns out. I'm open to that.
Yeah, so I mean, the reason that was a newspaper, remember, NA, and I look at CA, because they use a big book about alcoholics. And even reading the response, you know, substitute alcohol or add cocaine, crack, or heroin. I just don't think that, I mean, and Cocaine Anonymous has wrote a book, All Faith and Courage, but I think the...
That's a storybook, though, isn't it?
Story, yeah.
Okay.
But I think that's the reason, well, I don't know. Big book has it all. Why go to another, why try to duplicate it?
As long as you're getting first steps down, I got no problem. Got to get that first step. And I do not agree with those that say it's the same. It's different.
Well, yeah.
It's different. I'm a straight... I'm sorry, man. I really, really feel apologetic. I am so butt dumb when it comes to dope of any kind. I mean, I did all that stuff. I grew up in the 60s, for crying out loud. But I never had any desire to continue that way. Liquor was quicker. I just hit. I mean, get it home to mama. And I never found anything better. I never found anything better. But that's just me. I'm just, look, I'm the poster child for, I'm like MDA guy for alcoholism. That's my gig, man. And if you're getting spoken, hey, right on.
Yeah. Going back to your daughter, my daughter's 13 and a half.
Yeah.
So
I'm sorry.
Yes, me too. By 14, I was, you know, in ways that I would never want to see her. But if it was anyone else and they were had that experience, they're in the street, they're drunk, they're puking, all this stuff, to me that wouldn't necessarily mean that they wanted to get sober.
No.
You know, it might be a bad situation, but... And when it's your daughter, did you take her to meetings? Did you
no.
talk? Okay.
No.
Treated her just like anybody else?
I want AA to be the last goddamn stop, not the first stop.
Right.
You exhaust all the little silliness that's going on out there first. And if you survive that, and I know the risk. Believe me, I know the risk. She told me something in this drunken stupor. She said, Dad, when I start, I can't stop. And my heart sank. But I had to make the not making a face. And I said, honey, you might be predisposed. I don't know. I had to be just as neutral and as calm as I could be. And inside, I was turning over. Her friends, there are about, at any given point in time, it seems like several score, all know that our house is neutral ground. They've all got problems at home. Mom and Dad are fighting. There's too much drinking. They're fighting. They're carrying on. They're wrecking cars in their own driveway. And we've told every one of them, we've sat them down. And we've said, this is a sober house. There will be none of that. And if you ever need a place to come, you are welcome to come. And you can stay as long as you want to stay. They got to have a place to go to get away from the madness. And we've opened our home up to them. It's the same thing we would tell any drunk. You're not doing anything at Christmas? We usually are. Your family's disenfranchised you, you come to our house. We'll have a little turkey, we'll have a little ham, and a whole lot of laughter. That's the best we can do. That's the best we can do. And I've had those girls, her friends, call me in the middle of the night. I'm in real trouble. Can you come get me? And I have done the same exact thing for them as I have done for my daughter. Probably with a little less passion. They're in trouble. And I am either going to honor the obligations I make or I'm not. And it's not about my convenience. It's about what's necessary under the circumstances. If more of us parents who were sober would give these children an opportunity, I think we'd have less trouble in the world. And no, it's not 12-step work. It's a humanitarian effort. When I take somebody to detox and drop them off, that's not 12-step work. That's a humanitarian effort. And I refused to be a taxi. I asked one guy one time, he insisted on going to this detox. I said, what's up with that? He said, they got good drugs, man. He didn't lie. I said, the number is 777-7777, yellow cab.
Why didn't you take your daughter to meetings?
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
I want it to be the last stop.
I don't understand.
Not the first stop.
I heard you say it before, of course.
I want her to exhaust all the remedies that are out there. Psychotherapy, social workers, helper deals, until she's convinced on her own. It's not AA's job to convince her. It's her job to be convinced.
Okay. Following her point, she calls you up one day and says, Daddy, I've hit my bottom. Can I come to a meeting with you?
I would say, let me get somebody on the phone to help you. I had to do that with my son one time. He said, I know where to go, Dad. I said, where are you going to go, son? He said, Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, I hope not. And it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do with that boy. And he said, why not? Your question, why not? Because I don't want it to be the first stop on the block, man. AA works when you're out of options. As long as you got choice, as long as you got options, as long as you got parts to kill or feel or whatever, you're not going to take this bait.
Okay. So following that line of thought, I think we at times do a disservice to somebody who comes in and it's their first nip of the ringer and they haven't really tasted it. It's like we almost try to put AA on them instead of them seeking AA.
The pressures to join AA are immense. They're applied not only from AA but from all the community outside. So check this in your experience. If you have a problem with alcohol, you're in the right room. Maybe not. Maybe not. But we say crap like that, I guess out of some kumbaya something. It may not be true. A problem with alcohol is much... I had a solution with alcohol. I never had a problem drinking. My solution turned on me. That then it became a problem. But you got to let the solution turn on you. And I think you got to hit the rocks. I hit hard. There was nothing left with me when I got here. I see we're about at the end. I don't really have... I mean, you guys got it all out of me. I got nothing left to give. I don't know what those poor sons of bitches are going to do tonight. It may be a real long day in school, but I really want to thank you for hanging in here. I know it's been a hard, long day. I know we've covered a lot of ground. I know we've probably fostered a lot of questions, more than we've answered. But you'll find in AA, there's a collective experience out there that can help you navigate this stuff. And if you're a member of these other fellowships, CA, you know, that experience is there too. It just may be a little harder to find. So it's your obligation now. You now are informed about some things that maybe you weren't informed about. It's now on you to go to wherever it is you need to go and get answers to your questions. I'm only one man. I have some experience with some things, and I've tried to share that in a very open, honest way. It's my hope that you continue this process of doing this every, 6 months you're doing it? I think that's reasonable. There's been some discussion here about maybe doing a Traditions Concepts weekend. I have a friend of mine that we've done these for, I don't know, 15 years. I used to do them years ago with Don Pritz. And we did the Traditions and Concepts over a weekend in sort of a formal setting. But it kind of went a lot like this. I mean, we tell a few war stories, have a few laughs, and people ask really good questions. And through the course of a weekend, you get exposed to these two legacies, which sadly, many, many of us never get exposed to. And I'm hopeful that you'll embrace these ideas, whether or not you agree with the content, but embrace the central ideas and see if it doesn't make you a more understanding and more effective as you try to carry the message. And also, help you with your families. Help you with, these are great ways to learn how to get along with one another. We don't only have to agree on a couple of things, and the rest of it is pretty elementary. So, once again, thank you. God bless you all.